Now we are going to hear God's voice. Jesus' friend Peter wrote this: all people are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Just going to wait for George. Do you want this moved? Sorry about that.
Right, I'm up. Yeah, please, thank you. You grab the blue board and bring it there. Please, yeah, I'd get your Bibles out and turn to page 623. There's children here who can't see the board very well. They might want to come to the front. I'm going to be putting some drawings up on the board. So if you want to move, feel free to do that so that you can see better. Psalm 126. And it's another one in this series through the Psalms. It's a song of ascents. So we saw last week the idea, and the week before, the people of Israel went up several times a year. And here's my picture from last week, up to Jerusalem. And there you can see Jerusalem is built on this mountain, Mount Zion, which is surrounded by other mountains. They'd go there to meet together and to remember the acts of the Lord. Now, we as Christians, we don't go to Jerusalem on regular trips like they did. Now that Jesus has come, we are looking forward to meeting with him forever when he comes back. And we meet together like this weekly in local meetings. We're not people who go on pilgrimages to Jerusalem, but we can still learn from these special songs from that time. So Psalm 126, down at the bottom of the page. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we're filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, please keep that open. We're going to be looking at that together with the help of some pictures at the front here. And the next image on the screen here shows you where we're going. The Lord's work in the past, the Lord's work in the future, and joining in with the Lord's work now. Those are the three ideas I want to see from this short psalm. So the Lord's work in the past. The people walking towards Jerusalem, they approach the city. They turn a corner. They go over the brow of a hill. And then they see it, Jerusalem, the city for meeting, built on Mount Zion. And they're already remembering the Lord's work, what he has done. Verse 1, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dreamed. It was the Lord's work, and he restored their fortunes. Now, the word fortune can be a bit confusing. Sometimes we talk about a fortune being a lot of money. So they say, wow, that house cost a fortune. Or we say, look, he gave away a fortune. That's talking about a lot of money. But this is talking about the circumstances. So the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion. He made the situation for Jerusalem better. Restoring something means mending it or putting it back again. So God restored the situation for Jerusalem on Zion, the condition. When did he do that? Well, there are lots of times that he did that in the Bible, and maybe you can think about some of them. Let me remind you of a couple. There was the time when The people of Israel were prisoners, and the whole country had been overrun. Russia's trying to invade Ukraine. Well, this is where Babylon had invaded Israel and taken the people away. And Belshazzar was the emperor, and he had this great feast. And Daniel, the prophet of God, was there. And at this great feast, God revealed that the time was going to end. And then that night, suddenly, unexpectedly, that very night, the Persian Empire came. And Belshazzar was overthrown. God's people were set free and they were sent home. And in fact, they were given money and sent home with money back to go back to Zion. Or maybe there's the other time when the Assyrian army were surrounding Mount Zion, where Jerusalem is. And this great immense army of soldiers who had taken over the towns all around the area of Judah. And now they were camped around Jerusalem. They'd gone to the wall and they'd shouted to the people, "We're here. Can you see us? There's no point. Give up. We're coming to get you." And then that very night, the whole army, for some reason, decided to leave. And they went back home to Assyria, and the Lord had restored the fortunes of Zion. It was the Lord's work. And when the people saw that, they were glad. So where have I got? Here we go. Here's the people of Zion, the people of Israel. You didn't know they were people, did you? They were super happy. They're waving their arms to show how happy they are. We were glad. They saw God keeping his promise, restoring his people. Verse 2, our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Nothing could come out of our mouths but laughter. No words but songs of joy. It was like a dream. How we talked. We sang for joy. How happy we were. And when that happened, they were the talk of the nations. Everyone was saying, wow, have you seen what their God has done for them? Do you see that in verse 2? Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. It was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. So I don't know if you can work out what this picture is. But here we go. We have some people here. They are all looking at what God has done, what the Lord has done for Zion. And they're saying, wow, the Lord has done great. And these are their flags. So maybe it reminds you of the football, all the different nations. So the flags of the different nations, and they're saying the Lord has done great things for them. And then the psalm says, yeah, the Lord has done great things for us, and our hearts are full of joy. It's the Lord's work, what he has done in the past, those amazing rescues. And then the psalm goes on to say, well, what will the Lord do in the future? Verse 4, so turn the page to 6:24. Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Now, why are they praying that? Because in the first part of the psalm, it says he did restore our fortunes and we were full of joy. But they're praying again, restore our fortunes. And the reason is, in the Old Testament, God never brought his people fully back to life with him. They were always going backwards. Things were always taking a downturn again. And in fact, when baby Jesus was born, there were still people praying, restore our fortunes, O Lord. Who knows the names of those people? There were some people in the temple when Mary and Joseph took Jesus. Remember? There was one man and one woman. What were they called? Not Elizabeth. Elizabeth did speak about it. You're right. Anna and Simeon. Okay. Read that in. You can read that in the Gospel according to Luke. So they were still praying this. The prayer is restore our fortunes like streams in the Negev. Now, Negev, you have to look at books to understand this. Other books help understand this side of the Bible. The Negev is a desert area. And so the streams in the Negev, the sun would dry out the water, it would level go down and down. There'd be no water left. And it would just be dry and sun-baked and dusty. But then, if some rain came, even if it came a long way away in the hills, the rain on the hills would go down the hills into streams, and the streams would go into rivers, and the rivers would come into those streams in the Negev, and it'd be like someone turning a tap on. Suddenly, the water comes, and those streams are full of water. So do you see what the prayer is? Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev. Let that flood come, your sudden goodness. Just like when the Persians overthrew the Babylonians and we could come home, or the Assyrians all left us alone. Do that sudden great thing. And when that happens in the deserts, the animals can start drinking water. The plants start growing. Everything turns green. People can live there again. It's a picture of great goodness. Now, Jesus teaches us to pray like this, to pray that the Lord would mend the world in the twinkling of an eye, like the turning on of the tap, and his goodness will come to people when he makes the world right. Restore our fortunes, Lord. Well, knowing about the Lord's work in the past and the Lord's work in the future, there's something for us to learn about the Lord's work now, how to live now. So let's look at the last two verses, verse 5. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. So let me explain a bit what's going on here. Those who sow with joy. Sowing is what a farmer does when they scatter the seed. So here is this, let's put it in this picture, this person going out and they're sowing seeds. They're putting the seed out onto the ground. So that God then makes the plants grow. And then at the end of the growing time, the plants have grown and people will bring them back. So here we've got people bringing back. And they're coming back with joy. And what are they bringing with them, does it say? Sheaves. And what is a sheave? Yeah, it's a bundle. It's a bundle of the plants, the stalks. So the stalks that had the, they've got the grain on, and this man, this person, with man or woman, can't tell, they're carrying a bundle of the plants that have got the grain on, and they're coming back with joy. So sowing is hard work. It's difficult work. The farmers aren't sure how many plants will grow. And this is a picture of our life with God. Our life now is sowing. It's hard work, and we don't know how much will come from it. We might weep. We might cry because of the sadness of it, the difficulties, the uncertainty. So I'll put tears on this person, going out with tears. Sowing with tears. Not sowing with joy, but reaping with joy. And reaping in the picture in the Bible is the happy end when we are with God and God's people are with us too. Now, Jesus said, oh dear, my sticky is not sticking today either. While I'm fixing this, can you turn in your Bibles? If you go to the next image, please, Mark, we can see there. Mark chapter 4. Let's see how Jesus used this picture. If you can turn there to page 1005, please. So I'm going to read from verse 14, very bottom of page 1005, 14 to 20. So this is Jesus explaining a story he's told. The farmer sows the words. So normally farmers sowed seed, but he's using this as a picture for God's work now. The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seeds sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what is sown. So Jesus is saying here, we join in the Lord's work now by sowing the word. And the Jesus is Lord. There you go. There's the person sowing. They're not sowing seeds on the ground now. The seed is the word, the message of God, that Jesus is Lord. And that's hard. That's hard, with tears. How can it be that if we are God's people and we're doing his work, that it's hard and it makes us cry? That doesn't sound right, doesn't it? Aren't Christians supposed to be always happy? Doesn't the Bible say the fruit of the Spirit is joy? Although some people, when you say to a Christian, you know, how are you feeling? They say, I'm so blessed, I can't be stressed. I'm so blessed, I can't be stressed. Well, that's not what Jesus is talking about, is it? He says it will be hard. And the psalm says we will sow with tears and weeping. Well, it's hard because we want to do the Lord's work. And sometimes we have a whole week and we don't have any opportunity to tell someone about Jesus or to say, I'm a Christian. Come to my church. Or like me last week, we do get to talk to someone and I really found it hard to explain in a way they could understand. It's hard. It's frustrating. Or some people just won't listen. Or then someone will listen and they'll come to church with us and we're pleased that, you know, here's a new person come to church and they're coming along week after week. And then after a few months, they suddenly stop coming. And we never see them again. Or some people, we will speak to them about Jesus and then they will laugh at us and be rude to us for following Jesus and believing in God. It's hard. And the Bible's honest about that. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not a Christian. You might think, well, what's the point in becoming a Christian? The vicar here is saying from the Bible, you'll end up weeping and crying. And why I want to bother with that? Well, the Bible is saying being a Christian is not a magic pill to make you happy. You will have struggles doing the work of the Lord, joining in with the work of the Lord. Tears now, but joy in the future. And in the way Jesus explained it, it was about growing of the harvest, wasn't it? So there will be lots of plants that will grow. And here they are growing up. These stalks growing up. But actually, they turn out to be people in the way Jesus tells the story. Not plants that get brought back, but people who join in with us in God's family. And they will join in with us in the future when we are with God forever. And that will be the joy. So joining in the Lord's work is hard work. Those who come door to door visiting. You know, when we set out from the vicarage or the minor hall, we've had lunch together, had a nice chat, and we think, oh, I'm actually going to do it now. And we feel nervous. We find it difficult. Teaching your children, parents, teaching your children from the Bible, it can be difficult because you sometimes don't feel like doing it. And they're sometimes not wanting to relate to you in a good way. It's hard work. Being the only Christian in your class at school or the only Christian in your workplace or the only Christian in your family, it's hard. But he promises there will be fruit. I'll just read that verse from the Psalm again. Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy. So if you're finding it hard, don't give up. If you're finding it hard, don't give up. And if you're coming to church just because you want God to make life easy, think again. Because there's a hardness to a difficultness of following Jesus. And perhaps you've misunderstood that. Let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you that you have done amazing things that the Bible tells us about, where you have looked after your people in the past and restored their fortunes. Thank you that you made Jesus alive again after his enemies had killed him. And that was such a reason for joy for his followers and is joy for us now. Thank you the Bible is honest, that it can be hard joining in with your work now. Help us to believe the promise that in the end it will be worth it, because we will be with other people and with you forever. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.